new two-part series, and here's the title of it. Brianne put it up. It's Seed Planting and Harvest. I want to talk about today and next Sunday how to be a seed planter wherever you go. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about how to be a harvester, how to be a part of God's hands and feet to bless people. And I want to begin with a picture that communicates basically what the whole message is about. Here it is. This is a picture of an oak tree. And I want you to notice the top right-hand corner, how it starts out. You see, when you and I are a seed planter, we are planting seeds that are very small. As Linda talked about, the smallest seed that can be planted, the mustard seed, and it can grow. We plant seeds every day. The question is, what kind of seeds are we planting, and are they growing? But the potential that whatever seed you plant, it can produce a harvest of a full-grown, mature tree, all because it started as small as an acorn. So in your bulletins, the sermon listening guide, I want to talk about tools for being a seed planter. And today I want to share some practical ways during the message in which you can plant seeds into people's lives that can grow and will make a difference in who they are in the years to come. So in your notes, read with me Genesis 26:2 about Isaac. Let's read it. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. Isaac took seeds and he planted them. And it produced a crop that was 100-fold. Listen, God will take your life. And if you and I plant the right kind of seeds into people's lives, it'll bring back 100-fold increase. You start with your kids, your family, your children. It's whoever you do life with. And Isaac planted seeds and it produced 100-fold in 1 year. Zechariah 8:12, it's the verse that's hanging in the Harvey Center. It's a big plaque. Here's what it says. The seed will grow well. It's God's promise to us. The seed is his word, and it will grow well. The vine will yield its fruit. You can have a fruitful life. The heavens will drop their dew. The ground will produce its crops. God says, I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of these people. Our ministry here at the church in Walton is built upon the foundation of this verse, that the seed, God's word, will grow well. So as you think about your life, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells the parable of the sower and the seed. And the sower goes out and sows seed, and there's four different kinds of surfaces the seed lands on. One is a very hard and stony ground. One is one in which it's rocky and hard. Another is when the ground was filled with weeds and it choked out the seed. And then there was the fertile ground. But here's the point. After he got done telling the parable, he said, the meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And when you and I plant the word of God into our lives, or into the lives of other people, it starts very small, but it can grow. And God says the seed will grow well. What that is, it's life transformation. We are different people today than we were yesterday because of the seed being planted, God's word, into our lives. And so the mission we have as a church is to be about planting seeds into people's lives that can change everything. And so I want to share, as we get started in this, two principles about seed planting. It's in your notes, letter A. The first principle is this: you reap what you sow. We reap what we sow. Read with me Galatians 6, 7 and 8 in your notes. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. If a person is mean throughout their life and they are unkind to people, they are sowing seeds of unkindness and meanness. You know what that means? They'll reap a crop, a harvest from those seeds. On the other hand, it says if we sow the right kind of seeds in the Spirit, a person, you are kind to everyone you meet. You practice that. You sow seeds of generosity and blessing into people's lives. You know what you're going to reap? You're going to reap a harvest of kindness. We reap what we sow. And so, point number one, always remember, hey, we've all sowed the wrong kind of seeds. We all have. I have. That's what grace does for us. It's called forgiveness. And we say, God, here's the mess. Here it is. Help me to begin sowing the other kind of seeds. And so God gives us a fresh start. And we begin to sow seeds of a different kind, seeds of the Spirit. And our lives begin to change. Letter B on your outline. You and I reap in proportion to what we sow. In other words, it's summarized best in the verse there, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Let's read it. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. If you want to be a seed planter and you want a crop of blessing coming back into your life, you know what that means? If you sow generously into other people's lives, it's going to come back to you. If you sow sparingly and stingily, can I tell you, we will reap in proportion to what we sow. And so two simple principles. We do reap what we sow, and we reap in proportion to what we sow. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk about tools for being a seed planter. And that's kind of the heart of the message. Three simple thoughts that are very practical. I'll have Brianne go on to the next slide. Tools for being a seed planter. Number one, it's in your notes. The first thing is this. You and I can sow friendship conversations. Friendship conversations. This is all about relationship building. Now, I spoke about this earlier in March. And I look back at my notes and some of the same key thoughts, but I thought it was good to revisit it because this is Thanksgiving and we have Christmas coming up next month. And so the seed sowing is especially important around the holiday time because people are very open to church, things like that, because of the season of the year. But number one, friendship conversations. Read with me Ephesians 4:29 in your notes. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Paul says, whatever comes out of your mouth, make sure it will build people up. Now, this was in your bulletin. This is a coffee filter. And you know what you do with a coffee filter? You put it in the coffee pot. Put the coffee on top. You put the water in. And what it does, the water just kind of runs down onto the grounds, and it comes out the bottom. But there's a purpose for this filter. You know what it is? It's to catch what is coarse. In other words, the coffee grounds, we do not want coffee grounds in our coffee. We like the flavor and the taste of it, but we really don't like coffee grounds in there. It catches what is coarse. Here's the point. When you and I are careful when we speak to other people and we filter the words that come out of our mouth, it catches what is coarse. You see, having a filter is very important. We can't just say everything we want to. Because Paul says, only speak that which is wholesome and that which will build other people up. We got to have a filter in our friendship conversations. You know why? People are hungry for love and affirmation. That's just, we're wired that way. And what they need is somebody to step into their life who will love them and build them up. They'll compliment them. They'll just somehow look for good things. And when you and I do that to other people, we build up friendships. And here's what happens. We earn the right to speak into their life. We earn the right. And when we do that, we eventually want to lead them to a conversation that might involve their faith, because we want to point them to Jesus so that they can experience the grace that Jesus died for them to experience. In your notes, I found this online. It says, before you speak, think. And T stands for, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? So think about it. Have a filter in your mouth. I want to tell you how I blew it this past week, all right? I was talking to a lady, and she was telling me that she went to the dentist, and she may have to get, she has some, have some teeth done in her mouth or work. And the dentist suggested two dental implants. Each implant of tooth was $5,000 each. And a total of $10,000. Well, she didn't want to go that route, but here's what she said. I thought about it, and it was kind of like buying a used car. So I didn't think, okay. I guess I wanted to be funny, and I said, I responded back to her. I said, well, that'll make you a motor mouth. And I look at this list, and I flunk all of them. You know, is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? I just blew it. I mean, I was trying to be funny, but as soon as I said it, that wasn't smart. And she was good with it. We just kind of went with the flow. But the point is this. We all need a filter. You know what this filter might do? It may mean I may not say some of the jokes I want to say. Why? It's not wholesome. It may be the way I talk to my husband or wife. The tone, maybe I need to filter that. You know why? Positive things build people up. And it's all about building relationships. Now, I want to share one thing. You know what this gets applied to first? Listen carefully. The first thing that you need to do with this is you need to filter what you think and what you say about yourself. Let me say it again. The filter is first applied to you, what you say, what you think and what you say about yourself. You know why? You're planting seeds in your life. And you know what those seeds grow up to? There's a harvest. And depending on the kind of seed that you plant, what you think about yourself, what you say about yourself, you will get a harvest from it. And Paul says, hey, only think and say what is wholesome, including yourself. So we apply it to ourselves. We then apply it to other people. We say, hey, I got to be careful what I say to the person next to me, my family. And we want to build relationships. So tool number one, take a filter with you this week and be conscientious of what's coming out in the words of your mouth. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the second tool for being a seed planter is what I call invitation conversations. Invitation conversations. I went to somebody's house last night for dinner. It was a great time. You know why I went? I got invited. Never been there before. But there's power in an invitation. Read with me in your notes, Mark 2:15. Let's read it. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among followers. So, I want to talk about the power of the invitation. Levi is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's one of the 12. So he throws a party at his house. You know who he invites? Jesus, the disciples, and a bunch of people that didn't have a very good reputation. There's great power in an invitation. You know why he invited the rest of the crowd? So that they could potentially experience and listen to and benefit from the message that Jesus had for them. And so he threw a party and invited a whole bunch of people. He wanted to invite them to influence them. You see, you and I invite people all the time. And maybe to your home, maybe out to dinner, maybe it's a trip, you go on vacations. There's power in an invitation. I want to talk to you about a special invitation, though. There comes a time where if you love them and you're concerned about them, maybe you will invite them to something more spiritual. Maybe it's a meal at the church. Maybe it's just a fun activity. Or maybe it's a church service. You see, the power of the invitation can influence a person to step into a place of influence where they can hear a message that you can start as an acorn. It's the power of God's word, and it can change your life and change your eternity. In each of your bulletins, there's a little card. It's the church name and the church times. This is a tool. This is Thanksgiving season, and then we're hitting Christmas. I want you to take this with you and say, God, who could I invite? Who could I place this in the hands of? You know why? So that they can experience the Word of God coming into their life and they can experience life transformation. So it's just a simple invitation card. But God wants you and me to be seed planters. It starts out with friendship. That's it. Build them up. Love them. Care for them. And then maybe the time comes for an invitation conversation that can influence their future. And then finally, number three. The third tool of being a seed planter is what I call faith conversations. Faith conversations. Now, I want you to understand something. This has nothing to do with inviting people to church. It has everything to do with their own faith journey. Here's how this works. You step into a conversation with somebody, and you somehow do have a conversation starter question, and you say, hey, could you tell me where you're at on your spiritual journey? I mean, it's a neutral question. It's very generic. And you see where they respond to it. And you see if you can follow it up or if they're open to that conversation. Some are, some aren't. But you and I have the privilege of being a seed planter of faith conversations into people's lives. And it doesn't have to be in a church building. It can be anywhere if we're available for God to use us. Read with me Acts 8. It's in your notes. This is about Philip and an Ethiopian eunuch that the two had never met. They came across their paths, and let's read what happened. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Here's what happened. Philip joins the eunuch's chariot, and he looks, and he's reading from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. And the eunuch says, I don't understand what it means. And Philip is available to tell him the good news about a personal relationship with Christ that can change his life. And he had this faith conversation that turned the eunuch into a whole new direction. You and I have the same opportunities. We have to grow in this. And it begins with having a concern for other people. And we say, where are you at in your spiritual journey? And another one I've used, you know, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Do you have that assurance? There's just open questions. But here's the deal. We're planting seeds. In your bulletin, there's a third piece, an insert. It's called Steps to Peace with God. And this is a pamphlet that basically tells a person how they can be sure they're going to heaven after they die. And it's pictures, it's scriptures. You can use it as a tool. Take it home with you. Put it in a good place. And God may just open a door for you to have a faith conversation with somebody that can change the trajectory of their life just because we're available and we're planting seeds. So tools for being a seed planter, very simple. Number one, friendship, relationship building conversations. Here's your assignment for this week. This is just a visual metaphor. And I want you to monitor and filter the words that come out of your mouth. The words and thoughts toward yourself, and the words and thoughts you have towards other people. You filter it. You know what? You want to build them up. You want to be a blessing. You want to plant good seeds into their life. Number two, invitation. Who do you need to invite into your life? Who do you need to influence in such a way that maybe you could get them to church? Maybe you could just be a greater blessing to their family. You start at the lowest level and just love them. But there's great power in an invitation, whether it's to your home, out to eat or some event or to church. And then number three, wow, faith conversations. Everybody needs to hear and be a part of a faith conversation. And God says, I need people in Walton, New York, who are willing to step into the arena of faith conversations with people that don't understand it but need to hear about it, so their life can start as a small acorn, but it can grow to a large, mighty oak because of the Word of God in their life and the transformation of grace that can happen for them. Well, let me close with a verse from Luke chapter 15. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Here's a picture of a lost sheep, one sheep. Now listen, Jesus is willing to leave the 99, the shepherd, to go after one. You know what that tells us? That one person is very important. You know why? God has a passion for them. He has a love for them. He's crazy about them. He wants them to somehow connect with him. You know why? He wants to change and transform their life by planting seeds in them that gives them hope in a better future. And so Jesus is willing to leave the 99 to go after the one. And so here's the last slide. Jesus leaving the 99 to find one seems illogical, irrational, and senseless until that one is you and me. Until it's you and me. And I want us to understand we are on mission as a people to be seed planters wherever we go. God, here's my life. Help me in what I say to other people. I just want to build them up. I want to be a good seed planter in my relationships. Number two, the power of an invitation. God can use you to change somebody's trajectory in life just by you inviting them to something that could be a difference maker. And number three, faith conversations. We need to learn and grow in this area of how to engage people in this way. So like Philip, he basically was able to explain to this eunuch the good news about Jesus. God loves the one. Maybe you're the one. I've been the one. We all have. And he wants that one person to find the good news that when you plant the right seeds in your life can be changed forever going forward in this lifetime and in eternity ahead in a place called heaven. I want to close in prayer. I'm going to pray for two groups of people. I'm going to pray for any person here. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer that maybe you're at a place where you need to invite Jesus Christ into your life. You just receive his forgiveness or you recommit yourself to him. The second group I'm going to pray for, it's everybody. I'm going to pray for us all that we would be seed planters this week, okay? Bow with me in prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. You can pray it silently right where you're seated. Heavenly Father, Thank you for your love. I admit I've tried to do life my way. Forgive me of all my sins. I confess I need it. I believe that Jesus died on a cross, rose again the third day, and he lives forevermore. And right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. I receive his forgiveness. I surrender myself to you. I commit or recommit my life to you. Be my Savior, be my Lord from this moment forward. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer, put your hand up and put it down. Okay, a lot of hands. Thank you. Father, I now pray for every one of us that you'll make us seed planters, that we will indeed filter the words that come out of our mouth so we can build healthy, solid, loving relationships with other people. I pray you'll empower us to have invitation conversations with boldness to reach out to people. And Lord, I pray that you'll lead us to a place where we will have faith conversations. One-to-one with a person, just like Philip did with the eunuch, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. So, Lord, we just offer ourselves up here in Walton, New York, that you will make us a congregation, a group of people who are seed planters wherever we go. Because, Lord, we know that whatever we plant, we will harvest. In your name we ask. Amen.